Welcome to the 100 Master Coaches series featuring master coaches from around the world. Let's journey together on this 100 Master Coaches series with your host, Coach Mel, MCC. Today's Master Coach is Kathy Tracy. Through coaching and facilitating teams and leaders, she aims to create greater partnerships between people, enhancing emotional intelligence, and building healthy, happy, productive workplaces. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the 100 Master Coaches. This is Coach Mel, or Mel as everyone calls me. And today I have a special guest. Her name is Kathy, and she comes from Wellington, New Zealand. Welcome, Kathy, to the program.
Thank you, Mel. It's great to be here.
So we're going to just jump in to the first question, Kathy. Let's talk about your coaching story. How did it all begin for you?
Well, I trained as a social worker in my early career. So I'd been in the field of helping people in various ways. And I transitioned into training social workers and doing social work supervision after about 10 years in the field. And then I set up my own business doing management development, and it all kind of, you know, seemed to be a journey that just followed along, and it all rolled into each other. And because I was doing management development, then people asked me to do coaching. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm sure that will be fine. I have no idea what that is. And then I went and found some training and found that all my social work and communications, the psychology, the sociology, all of that training had just come in really, really useful. And so coaching felt like just a natural progression for me.
Wow. What could be the difference that you would say working with the two different groups of people?
I think the main difference is that when you're in a social work role, you have a particular, you know, there's particular things that you have to take heed of with the law and the reason that you might be interacting with people. But in terms of getting people to solve their own problems, in terms of exploring what's going on for people, in terms of their patterns of behavior, those kinds of things are the same. Just the context is different.
So how many years have you been a coach?
So I would say 30. Before it became a thing almost. So certainly I was doing one-to-one working using coaching models. It wasn't until sometime later that I then did some qualifications specifically in coaching and joined the ICF. And I was living in Europe at the time, and I also joined the EMCC, and, you know, started to understand more about professionalism in coaching, started to get supervision in coaching. So, and it again unfolded, and I just kept learning and kept, you know, trying to find out more and experiment with different things and work out what worked for my clients, do a bit more of that, you know, so that kind of approach really.
But let's move on to the second question. In your first 5 years of setting that business, right, as a coach, what were some of that, you know, ups and downs that you faced? Would you like to share some?
Yeah, I think for me, the first 5 years, bearing in mind it was quite a while ago, was I'd have clients who would quite happily buy training. So they'd buy a management development package or, you know, the sort of more classroomy traditional stuff. And I think the challenge often for me was getting people to recognize that just doing some short one-to-one work would actually give them a more bespoke approach. It would we'd be able to access directly into what was working for them and not working for them. Mm. And some of those things, you know, aren't the same in a classroom. People can't have the same level of vulnerability in a classroom. Mm. People sometimes feel that they can't ask questions.
Yeah.
So it was kind of getting that mode to be accepted.
Yeah.
And I think that was good. One of the things that I really loved and I thought was probably one of my biggest early successes was when I realized that instead of kind of trying to sell the process,
yeah,
that what I needed to do was sell the outcome. Mm. So not to tell people that, you know, this is coaching and this is how coaching works and, you know, all that stuff, but actually to say to them, do you want to be more effective as a leader?
Yes, that's right.
You know,
no, and, I'm sure everyone said yes.
Yeah. So, and then like packaging that up so that people would come for training and then everybody on that course would have individual coaching that went with it and that it was all part of it. It wasn't something different. It wasn't something just you were doing. It was something everybody did, but they all got their own series of coaching sessions at the end. And once I got that established as the kind of premier way of getting development, then yeah, it was great. You know, people were like, oh yeah, we get coaching as well. And then it was, you know, a thing to be sought after rather than, you know, something odd.
What would be one of the opposite of that in that sense of you were trying to find your way to that 5 years so that our audience could take in that learning as well.
What to avoid? I think, you know, it is that thing about selling the process.
Okay.
I think I lost quite a few clients on, you know, because I'd get very excited. I'd go on some sort of, you know, coaching thing and I'd learn some new process and then I'd come back and I'd try and sell them, you know.
Yeah. Got it.
You know, the 7 steps to authenticity or something. And, you know, they'd kind of look at me blankly and go, what's she talking about? And, so it's that bit. Because as coaches, of course, we're very conscious of the process and we're, you know, we're learning it and we're excited by it.
Yeah.
But actually that's not what people are buying as a business. Really, it's outcomes. So what do I do for people or what is it that you're going to get? And of course, what I do is not that important to the person on the other end of it. It's really what they get.
Absolutely.
You know, you go and buy a tire, you don't care about, you know, I mean, you might ecologically care about, you know, who's made
That's
it,
right.
but you don't really. You go, the tire fits my car, I'd like to have that one. You know.
Preferably not too expensive. You know,
that doesn't apply to coaching though, Mal.
Yes, I was about to say, I was having a moment there. I'm like, oh, I got to say that. Thank you for saying that, Kathy. Although we're not the most expensive of things, and yet we are probably the most effective of things. That's just my thoughts anyway.
I'll go with
Kathy,
that.
What would be the bravest thing that you have done as a coach?
As a coach, I think most of the time I'm feeling brave when I ask the difficult question, where I've got a client who, you know, is very senior, who's maybe very well respected in their field. I used to coach a lot of lawyers and accountants at, like, at partnership level. And I will tell you, at first, lawyers can be quite scary. But what I learned over the years is the difficult questions are the ones they're really paying you the money for. You know, they're the money questions. They're the ones that make them stop and go, ooh, and I thought about it like that. So I think that there's probably some stuff in there about just being brave, and I think being brave in your coaching is really important. And of course, my most brave thing is rowing across the Atlantic.
Would you like to tell us more about that wonderful expedition?
Sure. I mean, it's a long story with lots of, I do quite a lot of public speaking around it and talking about getting yourself out of your comfort zone, which as you can imagine, there's plenty of material for that kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, there was four of us, so it was four women, and we're the first ever women to row unsupported across the Atlantic. So that means we had to take every single thing that we needed with us. We couldn't get, you know, food or water or anything from anybody, or else we would be disqualified from the race. And we had the worst weather on record for that time of year since records had begun. So it was fierce. And it was, the waves were huge, unbelievably enormous. And
Can't imagine.
So it was a real adventure. We all got through it in, I won't say one piece, various pieces. but we all came out still talking to each other and, you know, having had the most fabulous adventure. It was pretty amazing.
I'm just blown away with that. Not just because it's a long journey, and not just because it's women, but because it's you against is nature, right? It's nature is so unpredictable, and we talk about obviously the unpredictability of our times these days. You kind of like probably didn't know what's going to be thrown at you over the next day.
Absolutely not. Not sure I would have gone if I hadn't known that.
No turning back. It's one of those, right? Yeah. It's like, let's just go ahead. Yeah. Well done. Kathy, what would be three insights that you would like to share over your 30 years of coaching?
So I took a bit of time over this question. So the first thing for me is, the first thing that popped into my head when I saw this question was, the best service you can give somebody is to take a stance of not knowing. Mm-hmm. And that's something I learned over the years. And what I mean by that is, you know, kind of letting go of your ego. Allowing people to bring what they bring with their context, with their resources, with what they've got. And not trying to, you know, enforce some solution that might work for me or for someone else, you know. So, and really doing them service by being in that state of, kind of creative void. I think is how it's often described. So I think that stance of not knowing is really, really important. So that's my first one. My second one is, because I'm a systemic coach, is about understanding systems and being able to recognize systemic patterns as they turn up, and unfolding that a little bit for your clients so that they might be able to recognize some of those patterns and whether they are, you know, is this a pattern that's turning up? And so that allows the opening up of other possibilities for them. So that would be definitely my second one. These are not in order of preference. And then the third one, I guess, is sort of a bit of a, I guess just a reminder that I talked before about, you know, I've coached some pretty senior people in my time in government and in local and in private sector. And I always get reminded that we're all human and, you know, we might be, you know, uber bright and, you know, hugely successful, but we're all human and we all have these vulnerabilities, and it's the coaching is a service that is just being there to be useful, and that's what we're there for. That's for everyone. So
that's so beautiful.
I think it's, you know, it's good to just have that in mind.
Just being human about things.
Yeah.
Yeah, without that whole layers of context that sometimes environment and everything that we go through put us through that, and we ourselves, right?
I think it helps. There's a theme that I see when I supervise coaches about judging themselves. So, you know, am I good enough? Am I quick enough? Mm. Am I bright enough? Am I, you know, whatever, enough? Am I just enough?
Enough, yeah.
And of course, if we can let go of that a little bit, it's we're actually, again, we're being of more service to our clients.
Yeah.
So I think it's just one to kind of hold there, you know, as we're coaching.
Hmm. That wonderful space, as you mentioned, that wonderful humanity of things. Hmm. Kathy, if you had a chance to do it all over again.
All of it?
What would you do differently?
I'm not a person who really holds any regrets about things. I always think anything that turns up is a lesson. Some more painful than others, you know, obviously.
Yes.
I mean, one thing that I did that I wish I hadn't done, but I did learn a lot, was when I employed a coach. So in my business in the UK, I employed a few people.
Yeah.
And I employed a coach who had a very, very enormous ego.
Oh, okay.
And I was swayed by the big companies that they'd worked with and the, you know, this massive kind of sense of competence and expertise that they walked into. I was blown away by like how amazing they were.
Yeah.
And I didn't stop to sense check myself. And when I think back to it, you know, when it wasn't so good, I knew I actually did know, and I didn't listen to myself. You know, there was that little voice in the back of my head going, "Is this person going to be a good fit for the way that this organization puts itself out there?"
Yeah.
And so that was hard, and you know, that person was a good. That would have been a good fit in another organization, but just wasn't a good fit for our organization. So it wasn't about that person so much as me listening to, you know, what I did know, but I got kind of a bit overwhelmed by how amazingly awesome they appeared to be.
Yeah.
So, and yet, of course, it just didn't fit with us. So it was really interesting, and it was hard to deal with. And it was quite tough, to be honest. So, yeah, I don't know. What's the lesson? Listen to your inner voice, check it out, you know, and sometimes you'll be right. and then the other thing is think about, you know, what's right for the organisation as well as the person and the role and the, you know, so it's just kind of thinking about all the different systems that person will impact on and how that will turn up.
You know, I just want to say this, Kathy. I feel that you, as you said, you knew it, and yet I think you wanted to believe in that human potential as well as a coach, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think you did what you did, right? And yeah, it turned out a certain way. And it's still beautiful. I just wanted to affirm that back to you because
thank you.
You believed in that person's human potential and saw the best out of things. Yeah. So that's what we do as coaches, don't we?
True.
It sometimes do get us into trouble. Oh my gosh. We live in a in a extremely fast-paced world, and it's just becoming more and more unpredictable. So this next question is about that. In your mind's eye, what do you think that whole future of coaching is going to look like, sound like, be like?
Well, with my crystal ball.
Here we go.
Here we go. So there's a couple of things that occur to me. I think that we are going to continue to see the professionalization of coaching. And I guess I particularly see that because of having lived in Europe for many years and then coming back to New Zealand. You know, I see the way that things have progressed over there, and I think we are on a similar trajectory. So I think that we will see more coaching. I think we'll see it where people are asking for credentialed coaches, that it will become more the norm, that organisations in particular will say, we will employ coaches and we want them at this level. So I think that will be part of it. And I think, I mean, the other thing for me is just personally, I'm going on a slightly different journey. I've decided that I'm going to start doing coaching retreats. So I'm actually building at the moment, and we're going to be running coaching retreats for people who run their own businesses.
So
I think that's going to be, we're building out by the coast. So I think it's an opportunity to do something a little bit different with it. Bring people for a few days, give them some really structured thinking space, some, so I'm developing my own coaching kind of that fits around how I want my life to be and how I can offer service in a way that's going to be hopefully useful. So
definitely useful. I was about to say, Kathy, you know, we'll be able to have the privilege to have you and your team lead us as we're part of the Australasia chapter of ICF. That comes in the new year, September. So it's a privilege to have that future of coaching with you and your magnificent team.
I just want to say that. Well, I hope that we give a good service, and I'm looking forward to the year sitting in that role. But it's very much a, you know, we're all holding it for whoever comes next. So it'll be an interesting year, and we'll see what happens in the world over the next year.
Yeah, that will
be
exciting.
One thing we do know is we don't know.
Two more questions to go. What is that one master wisdom that you love to leave behind for our budding coaches coming in?
I think that the most important thing you can do as you come into coaching is to get supervision. I think that supervision helped me and still does. So it's not something you do just when you start. It's something you should do all the way through your coaching career. I think that you should try different supervisors. You'll get different things from different people. It helps to keep you professional. It helps to keep you ethically sound. It helps to keep you on the learning edge of your practice all the time. I think it's invaluable. So that would be and it doesn't matter if it's group coaching, you know, if you're just starting out and you can't afford to get a supervisor, that's okay. Do some ICF group coaching, which, you know, there's some free ones around, peer coaching. But from time to time, you know, dip into some other things as you can. I just think it's critical.
That is a beautiful thought, and not just a thought, but an action, because that's what I've also done. I totally believe in that, as we need to have our peers with us and also people who have gone before us to walk with us. And I think that's beautiful. Wow. As coaches, we ask wonderful questions, and so I will give you this opportunity to ask your powerful question for the audience today. What will be that question?
So my question would be, can you observe yourself with curiosity rather than judgment?
Curiosity. I'm giving that space to everyone out there, and Kathy will repeat that question one more time.
Can you observe yourself with curiosity rather than judgment?
That's so beautiful, Kathy. Kathy, it's almost time to say goodbye. I won't be singing that Sound of Music song. Don't worry. What will be some of handles that we can reach out to you if we want to come in contact with you?
Sure. So I'm on LinkedIn as Kathy Tracy. Easy to find, I would imagine. I have a website that is kathytracy.com. That's just if you want to know about rowing. It's really just a fun website. There's a few pictures on it, to be honest. And then my business is called Thinking Spaces. So our website is www.thinkingspaces.org. And you can get me through pretty much all of those channels. And watch this space. When our retreat is built, currently we're putting plasterboard up on the walls. So I'm very hands-on.
There we go.
So in maybe 2.5 to 3 months we'll be up and running, and I'll look forward to welcoming you, Mal, when you come over.
yes I will definitely come over and have a wonderful retreat there in the coast. I can't wait to get out, actually. So that's fantastic, Kathy. It's been a privilege to host you here. Really, it's been my pleasure to have you on the 100 Master Coaches series.
Thank you so much, Mal, for having me. I've really, really enjoyed myself. It's been fabulous. Thank you.
With that, I say goodbye and catch you next time on the next series. Bye for now.
Thanks, Mal.
You have been watching the 100 Master Coaches series with your host, Coach Mal, MCC. Brought to you by Catalyst Coach. www.catalystcoach.live. We will be right back with our next Master Coach on the 100 Master Coaches series.